Drama. I love a good drama. I love watching those movies that invite me into the turmoil and sadness and chaos of life. I like to watch characters in flux where they actually don't know which way to turn. And then maybe just have a really good cry because I can identify with what they're going through. And it's not just the movies that invite me into drama. It's actually all of life that invites us into drama, especially life in community. Don't we just love drama? The interesting part of drama for me is how it pulls out the most instinctive and primitive ways of reacting. You know, we have this reptilian brain inside of us that has this fight or flight response. So when something in life is particularly dramatic, some of us dive in and some of us head for the hills. And then we also have these responses of some of the deep woundings that we have received in our early life. You know, some of us respond out of a need for survival, a need for security, for affection, for self-esteem, for power or control. And so when we find ourselves in a drama, we might avoid the drama and run towards someone or something else, or we might get over-involved to try and fix it or control it. So let's take a simple drama that maybe, just maybe, we've experienced here at the church. How about the drama of a leaky roof? Okay, so we have those of us who would avoid it. So we'd stick a bucket under it, close the door, play loud music so we don't hear the drips. And then we have some who may even climb in a car to go shopping to avoid it, or go and buy ice cream to comfort ourselves. And then others who may just want to give each other a really good hug, because that's what we do when everything feels like it's falling apart. But that's only some of us. Others of us will go straight to the phone to call the plumbers, roofers, get quotes, and still others of us will order everybody else around because we like to feel in control when it's chaotic. Can we identify with just one of these, maybe two? I am the ice cream first person and then boss everybody around. So every drama pulls at our intrinsic patterns of reacting. Yet, if we stop, pause, and reflect, every drama also has a deeper invitation for us. There are questions in it. Who do I choose to be in this situation? What is God inviting me to pray or to do? And so every drama has the potential of being a God event in our lives that can lead us to wisdom. Let's look at Solomon. David and Bathsheba's son. Here in our reading, he is taking the throne of his father, the infamous King David. He is beginning to establish his kingdom in the wake of his father's passing. And King David's final words to Solomon just earlier in the chapter was this: I am about to go the way of all the earth. So be strong, act like a man, no pressure, and observe what the Lord your God requires. And then David instructs Solomon to pay back justice on all the people who had turned against David's kingdom. He also asks Solomon to pay with kindness those who had stood by David. But he ends the speech by saying, deal with them according to your wisdom. And that's where we pick up the story today. David dies, and we are told that Solomon firmly establishes his kingdom. And then the designer of our common lectionary cuts out the next chapter, which, if it was made into a film, would be rated PG-13 or R, because it's actually bloody ruthless. You've got Solomon, who's killing people to establish his power and reign. And as a king in those days, you may think that kind of behavior is justifiable. But the writer of the Book of Kings calls into question Solomon's character. He asks, is this a king who is going to respond to drama by rushing in and fixing things through violence like his father did? You will remember that King David was actually disqualified from building the temple because of his violence. And that was to be the job of his son. Would Solomon prove to be a worthy human being enough to build the temple of God? Solomon doesn't start very well. He starts by destroying all those who pose a threat to his kingdom. Maybe he's operating out of fear or for security. And so the writer of the story very subtly critiques Solomon. You can imagine trying to write a book about the kings, and if you were going to critique kings in those days, and possibly in these days, your life might be in danger. So he's very subtle in the way this author does it. So listen to this line as an example. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Compliment or criticism? Well, it's interesting, because in the rest of the Old Testament, when somebody wanted to say that this person was holy, they would say that they walked in the statutes of God. And now we are told Solomon is walking in the statutes of his father David. Something is not quite right about that statement. Solomon seems to be lost. He's responding to the drama by fix it, getting afraid, insecure, overwhelmed, and following in the worst ways that he observed his father doing. And then there's a dream. Now, Walter Brueggemann tells us that a dream in the ancient world is not like we understand dreams today. We are such a psychologized people in our sort of post-Freudian world, aren't we? We understand dreams to be part of the sort of psychological emergency that's going on for us. That's if we haven't eaten pizza the night before. But dreams in this age were understood as the gods giving you messages as you slept. And so Solomon falls asleep at one of the high places. All the conventional human controls are put to rest as he sleeps, and the hovering and haunting of God has a chance. And the dream is an interruption. The dream is Solomon's pause to reflect who he is and to reflect on what God might be inviting him to do. And I love the way God shows up in this dream. This mysterious and generous God says to Solomon, "Ask of me whatever you need." I have to say that I really struggle to name my needs in prayer. Maybe it's because I'm only just beginning to learn how to name my needs. And the invitation here is to trust and to be authentic, to open our hearts into the mystery of God, to be just where we are. And Solomon's response is a confession. He says, I am but a little child. I wonder how overwhelmed this king felt. Here he was, newly taking over the throne. This huge nation is under his control. And perhaps this instinct of violence was a reaction to this deep inadequacy that he felt. And so he communicates with God that there is a mismatch here. You're expecting me to work like a king, but I don't feel like I have the resources of a king. And this is his turning point. It is the moment of vulnerability, of honesty. You know what it's like when we're going about business as usual, and suddenly we stop and we're honest about what's really going on. And so Solomon asks for what he really needs, and he asks for an understanding mind, or another way to translate that, a listening heart. He asks for his heart, mind, and soul to be responsive to God's guidance. You see, every drama has the potential of being a God event in our lives to lead us to wisdom. And when we're in this loop of unconsciously responding and reacting over and over again, it leads us away from what really matters. In life, when we have a decision to make and it feels like it's too much for us, we sometimes run away from the decision into some personal addictive behavior. Or we make the same decision over and over again, expecting things to turn out differently. Being in the drama and reacting can lead a community to focus on survival instead of thriving. It can lead a church to focus solely on finances and not on God's deep calling. So the invitation before us, both individually and as a community, is to stay awake in every drama of our lives. And as it unfolds, to find the moment to pause and to pray. The Jesuits call this contemplation in action. The Buddhists call it mindfulness. And we can cultivate this through our spiritual practices of silence and prayer and meditation, so that when we're in the middle of the muddle, we are less likely to react and more likely to pause. Perhaps we could visualize it this way. Imagine a dance floor playing your favorite music. I love to dance. And you're spinning and dancing on the dance floor, and suddenly you sense this inner nudge, or even a whisper or an idea, and you take the time to leave the dance floor, to climb the stairs up onto the balcony where the choir are sitting, and you get to look down where you were once spinning around. You get to see how you were affecting other people and how other people were affecting you. And you get to ask, what is really going on here? Who do I choose to be in this moment? What is God inviting me to do? So may every drama be for us a God event that leads us to wisdom. And even when we mess up and keep reacting, may that invite us to pay attention the next time. May our moments and days be a path to wisdom, to a listening heart that seeks kindness and love and justice. Amen.